Bocelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Bocelli.
July 13, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me rattle on about the date, et cetera, et cetera. Soars Day, Thursday, anyway. A few updates really fast, and I did post this in the live chat room at Ocelli.com. And if you are hearing us just about quarter after 8 p.m. Eastern time on that date I just mentioned, if you're hearing us live, great. You can go to the live chat room at Ocelli.com and see that I posted a message regarding the current state of affairs about the website, etc. If not, if you're hearing us later, further on down the stream and all that good stuff through your podcatcher du jour, you can always go back to the chat room and roll it back. Anyway, what I did happen to type in there, in case you don't want to go there, is that I had some troubles with a hack attack on the website, etc. Took me about a week to clear it up, so there haven't been new pods posted to the website. However, if you're listening to us on Apple or one of the other pod catchers out there, you know, Podcast Addict, Deezer, what have you, you haven't been interrupted at all because I keep that separate from the website. So, if you're missing stuff on the feed because of the website, I'm going to just skip over all the pods we missed, and we're going to have it rolling tonight. So suddenly you'll see batches of podcast posts, okay? But anyway, I'm just going to put up this week's stuff, and we're going to move forward. That's the way it's going. And speaking of this week, and a guy I haven't had on for a bit because, well, he was away, and also I didn't feel good the 1 week, and I am getting better. Just for the record, don't want to jinx myself, but I am getting better. Feel a bit stronger today than I have in quite a while, so hopefully that trend continues. I haven't been able to speak to Mike Swanson lately. WallStreetWindow.com. Be in the know. Go to WallStreetWindow.com. It's not just about Wall Street. It's about many things, including geopolitics, current events, on and on. Anyway, I do get the emails from Mike in the morning. I love those. Sometimes they are about financial stuff. Maybe I'll ask him about his recent emails about gold and all that. Oh, and by the way, he's also the author of The War State, that book you see on the website all the time, and Why the Vietnam War, which is the first in a series of at least three books that are planned regarding that conflict. Very interesting author in that he takes very complex historical circumstances, etc., etc., concepts, explains them not only in a way which is easily understood, but in a more honest fashion, in a more honest manner, and with facts and interesting stuff. Matter of fact, there's new stuff in that Vietnam book. If you've read on the conflict before but haven't read Mike's work, you might be reading some brand new material, or unseen material anyway, up to this point in time. So I would check out Why the Vietnam War. I would check out the next book in the series when it does happen. Not sure when. Maybe Mike will tell us. But really, really happy to have the man behind WallStreetWindow.com, Mike Swanson, with me. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's great to talk to you today.
Always, always great to talk to you. So, I love discussing media, the analysis of what's actually happening, not just in your corner where you like to do stuff, and the local news that you were doing there, getting around things in your state, et cetera, et cetera. But I love just talking to you about media in general. Now, I know you swore off Star Trek. Maybe we could talk about movies and entertainment later, because I have some thoughts about Indiana Jones and a few other things.
Well, I like to talk about the local stuff in a minute with you. A lot of stuff we can talk about. We haven't talked in several weeks.
Right.
But you just mentioned, I just got to ask you.
Sure.
Because you mentioned the word Star Trek. I just saw this morning, I believe it was, or yesterday, something about Star Trek pop up in this, I think it's called Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
But I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen Picard. I haven't seen a lot of these things. But anyway, it popped up in my Facebook feed, and someone made a comment that this is the best Star Trek, and it's more like the original show than the Next Generation or the previous ones. Is that true? In your view, if you've watched it, I don't know if you watched it.
I was just about to tell you that, honestly, I know you got disappointed with Star Trek Discovery, but here's the thing. Strange New Worlds, okay, is very interesting. Do you know anything about it, or do I need to explain some of the premise?
Well, I just had the notion that it's like the Cage characters.
Yeah, basically, but it does.
Number one and so forth.
Yeah, but it also contains some of the characters you know, like Spock was part of that crew.
Yeah, Spock. Yeah, sure.
Uhura is part of this crew as well.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And these are all new actors and everything. It's very cool to me because it is true to what seemed to be presented with the rejected pilot with Star Trek. It's true to that, but obviously with better technology.
Mentioning Uhura, I have the original series on DVD.
Yes.
Owned it forever. And I watched it who knows how many times as a kid.
Yeah.
But I was bored and I decided to put the first episode in, and then I watched the second episode, and it's the one called Charlie X. This guy is young, but he, can kill people and stuff.
Right.
But anyway, in it, there was a scene, and this is like the first or second of the episodes that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, there's a scene where Uhura is kind of almost flirting with Spock, pretty much is,
yes,
teasing him on the bridge. And then there's a scene where they're in like a recreation room and she's singing and doing the same thing to him.
Right.
And it just made me realize, in the newer movies, they make out. Maybe there is a relationship between the two of them. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's funny.
And this Uhura Spock thing, it's right there in the first two episodes.
That's right.
Basically, and then it goes away completely. So,
well,
I forgot all about it.
Yeah. See, not completely. When you rewatch these things, you'll discover that there might be a reason why when they rebooted the Star Trek universe, why they did certain things. Like a lot of people thought it was strange that they put that relationship between Uhura and Spock in the J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah, that's the one of.
Yeah, and they forget. Yeah, but they forget exactly what you're talking about. And by the way, there is an outtake just floating around, I think, on YouTube and also in collector's editions out there, remastered and all that, of like the full thing with Nichelle Nichols singing and all that. And they cut a lot of it from the show that aired.
Okay.
And it's actually some pretty cool scenes. So I don't know if you've ever seen that stuff, but it's worth it. And quite frankly, since you like having the DVD collection, I know there's some anniversary DVD out there with a whole bunch of this, like, footage they didn't find in the vault until like 2010 or 2015. So you might be interested in all that. But back to your initial questions about the new stuff, let me tell you, the Strange New Worlds is very much like a modernized, but very much like the original Star Trek, in its feel, in the way it is, except they're using Pike and it's the crew before Kirk. Although Kirk makes an appearance in Strange New Worlds, he's the captain of another ship. He doesn't have the Enterprise yet, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's just before Kirk becomes the captain of the Enterprise. So I find that interesting because I always wanted to know more about the Jeffrey Hunter time period when we saw, the Cage being released later because it was the rejected pilot. It didn't air with the original series, but they did use parts of it for the Menagerie, which was, something they did to save costs. Remember the whole thing, Spock's being court-martialed, et cetera. So it's an interesting thing going back in the history there. It is very much for, if you were disappointed with Discovery, you should be happy with Strange New Worlds.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, Picard redeems itself in a different weird way in its third and now final season. That's it. That's the end of Picard. Mm-hmm. Because did you like the Next Generation Star Trek when, the original Picard series?
I didn't. I mean, I really liked the original show. I mean, as a kid, I watched it over and over. I watched it a lot. It was on TV, on UHF,
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. But I was lukewarm to the Next Generation. I, that's the way I would put it. I didn't. I watched it, but I wasn't real excited about it. Mm.
Oh, well, then Picard might not be for you, even the season three. Season three, yeah. They bring back a lot of the Next Generation people and answer a lot of Next Generation questions, and it almost now slots in really nicely. Like, originally, Picard was very strange because it was like the Federation seemed to be a very dirty and mixed-up thing, and it was a little more, a little more gritty than most people are used to with Star Trek.
I would say by the end of the Next Generation that I kind of stopped watching Star Trek. I just got sick of it. I guess I liked the Next Generation less as it went on. So I didn't watch any of the Voyager, and then I didn't watch the Deep Space Nine, and then I did watch the one called Enterprise, and it was okay. I thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. But you told me to watch Deep Space Nine, and I watched it, and I really liked it. I watched that maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting metaphorical stuff there, and you could think to yourself, this is them showing you about history. This is them showing you about the current situation as the show was being made, because if you think about it, where the 9/11 paradigm was very hot in everybody's mind, the war on terror and all that, and then you put it in that context, holy crap, that show looks a lot different to you if you think about it that way, right? It seems like they're showing you stuff like they did in the original series, where the Klingons were kind of like the stand-in almost for the Soviet Union. In a way, I think that there are many different metaphorical nods there to the war on terror and the situations there. There are literally acts of terrorism that go on in Deep Space Nine, and it's very much in the zeitgeist of its time of origin. Also, Enterprise had a bunch of stuff like that, the concept of torturing prisoners and all those sorts of controversies. But Enterprise wound up falling flat because people lost interest at the time, because the real world was filled with enough conflict. You didn't need the imaginary ones, at the time. The war in Afghanistan was hot and heavy. Iraq was happening. And the questions of are you a patriot or not, and this kind of thing, it fell on the wrong time period, I think, and they did a bad ending for that show, Enterprise. I don't know if you remember the final episode.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
Terrible ending. But because they were just basically being driven out, they cut their budget, and then they told them, look, you're going to have to end the series now. And because they knew that was happening, they kind of hurriedly threw that together, and it sucked. But there was interesting time periods in that series as well. I think if you want to recommend from me, don't bother with Picard. I don't think you'll like it. But Strange New Worlds, you will enjoy it if you're okay with, now I'm going to follow Captain Pike, right? And you don't need to.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I think you'll find that interesting. Also, because Kirk makes an appearance, there's plenty of nods to things that you know about from the original series. There's an exploration of not only the situation. Spock wasn't just flirting with Uhura, or Uhura wasn't just flirting with Spock. But, I don't know if you ever took notice, but go back and watch the original series again. There's really subtle little things about Nurse Chapel and who she's involved with. So, take a look at that, and then when you wind up looking at
Spock, right?
Yeah, Spock again. Now, in Strange New Worlds, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but it's expanded upon. You get an idea about where certain things came from. And I don't know if you remember the thing with, in the original series, Spock was supposed to go get married.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so they go through that in Strange New Worlds as well. And now you get really more context. It's interesting. It fills in a lot of stories. Kirk's brother is on the Enterprise, by the way. Sam Kirk is on the Enterprise while Pike is captain. Just so you know. Anyway, I think you'll find it interesting with those connections. And the actor doing it, no, he's not Jeffrey Hunter, but Jeffrey Hunter was very much like a guy of his time. You know what I mean? Like, if you put Jeffrey Hunter on TV today, people would laugh at it. But in the 1960s, Jeffrey Hunter, the way he was carrying himself and presenting himself, makes sense. So the guy who's doing Pike on this series actually does an excellent job being a modern-day version of what Captain Pike should be, a more evolved version, a more subtle, you know, less of the 1960s-style acting and everything. Very, very good. I think you'll enjoy Strange New Worlds. And what is there, two seasons now altogether? And one of them is actually currently running. So I think you'd enjoy it. Anyway, for those of you who have now been bored to death with the Star Trek discussion, which if you are, I'm sorry, but I've watched them all. I've watched them all. I've enjoyed almost all of them. And Star Trek is a very cool thing in my mind and does give you that that crossover between art, history, and reality as it unfolds in a very fascinating way. It's also one of the most evolved universes in entertainment history, where you have a franchise that has been, you know, presented in movies and television and books in so many different ways. I don't think anything has the, you know, half a century presentation that Star Trek has. So, you know, some people think it's nerdy and goofy and a waste of time, but not me. Anyhow, let's get into some news and stuff, because, look, that's usually the business we're in. Want to get into what it is we're going to set up for the rest of the show, because we'll go to a break in a minute here. But before we go to that, you know, what has been on your mind or catching your attention lately? I'll tell you, I was enthralled with the congressional hearings, with the FBI Director Wray there for a minute. I find it interesting the way the Republicans have sort of switched sides there for a while. You know, when the other side of the aisle was tearing up Christopher Wray as somebody who probably wasn't worthy of running the FBI and everything else because he was a Trump appointee, blah, blah. I find it interesting that the Democrats are almost defending him and things he's done, and the Republicans are kind of on the attack regarding, you know, the behavior under the FISA courts. You know, is the FBI being abusive because the way they treated Trump, of course, not about the way they, you know, general everyday citizens are steamrolled by the FBI or anything. No, not about the unwarranted surveillance that they do of everybody quite often. They're not really digging into that so much, but they are upset that they think conservatives are being targeted. And that's clearly being discussed openly and sort of in a confrontational way right there in Congress. You can tune in and catch or listen to it one way or another on C-SPAN or on radio if you go and find it. So that's been happening, along with Biden economics, for God's sake, and a whole bunch of other things nationally. I don't know if you want to talk national stories or you want to go more local. What's on your mind? What's been catching your attention in the feeds lately?
Well, I'm not paying any attention to those political stories, national political stories that you mentioned. At all. I went to a local I'll participate in a hearing today.
Like a town council meeting or a county meeting?
Which is something I've never done before. No, it was real. I mean, this is real obscure stuff, but this is how the system works. Right. And it connects to the national politics, you know, because it's about voting. I went to an electoral board meeting today. Mm-hmm. And, what happened was, I mean, it's a long story, but and there's three members of the electoral board. I don't know them, right. But I know the people leading the Republican Party, and I know and the people. I know the guy head of the Democratic Party, and these electoral boards. I mean, the thing about elections, mm-hmm. in 2020. We had all these people saying the election was rigged, it was stolen, the machines, and this and that, with no understanding at all of how the electoral count process works, the counting of votes and how electoral boards work and all this stuff. People just believe these narratives without any real understanding. But I went to this meeting,
sure.
as someone concerned about wanting to know what's going on, because maybe it's possible the system is about to be rigged.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions.
I'm not saying it is. Yeah. I'm not worried about that, but I went to the meeting.
Okay, well, let me ask you a couple of questions about this, because this has become part of the national debate one way or another, but it's something that's on a local level because, honestly, it's your local election boards that have control of most of the things people are complaining about. So we're all familiar with the fact that, you know, Trump said 2020 was rigged because he lost, you know, and that's that. That's an interesting thing in and of itself, but it is fascinating that a lot of those national stories and even the lawsuits that came out, whether it's, you know, Dominion suing Giuliani or whatever, you know, it was all about, hey, look, you're accusing us of all kinds of malfeasance and, you know, it's not proper. Meanwhile, there's been a lot of ruckus on the local level, sometimes people not knowing what they're talking about. I mean, I saw stuff in Georgia here where they were saying, well, they won't allow our people in to observe. When the rules are not structured that way, and quite frankly, they already have party representatives in there to observe things,
yeah,
to look at conflicts.
That's just all nonsense.
Yeah, but nonsense. What I'm saying is that people are trying to literally take things to court when they don't even know about the process the way it's supposed to run,
right,
whether it is running or not. This is what you're addressing. So I want you to get specific about this because you're saying to me, look, you're an honest guy. I know you. Honestly, you're thinking to yourself, look, there could be problems. So I'm curious, you know, before we get into what you did at the meeting and your participation, what is it that caused you to be alarmed in the first place, to think that there is a possibility of something not going, you know, according to the way things should be above board and all that? What was your first indicator? I mean, it wasn't the national discussion, obviously. Did something tip you off that, hey, maybe something
so
fishy here? Go ahead.
The way the system works, there's an electoral board of three people. And two are Republicans, one is a Democrat, because in at least in Virginia, the governor, whoever the governor is of the state is, has control over that.
Now, this board, is it in your county, your town? What is
it? It's the county.
It's the county.
It oversees the county elections.
Okay.
And their job is to hire the registrar, who then is ultimately responsible for all the voting stuff going on, and including monitoring finance forms. It's a pretty big job.
Yeah, well, a registrar, just really quick, again, another question, sorry, but a registrar, just don't want to pass by things too quickly.
Yeah.
Where I used to live in Jersey, and I haven't dealt with the registrar here in Georgia, but in North Carolina I did. But anyway, Jersey, I had a lot more familiarity. The registrar handles all sorts of statistics and vital records for an area, right? So a registrar doesn't just handle voting in Jersey. A registrar handles, like, you know, where they keep birth certificates and stuff like that. Like, one of the problems I have is I can't get my birth certificate from the registrar in Long Branch, New Jersey, because I need ID. And the thing is, I need my birth certificate to go get ID. So I'm in a catch-22 there regarding my, you know, government ID. Anyway, the registrar where you are, do they handle all kinds of stuff like that too, like birth certificates, marriage records?
I don't know about that. I don't know about birth certificates, marriage.
So you just know about their responsibilities regarding voting then, right?
Yeah, yeah, and voting rolls, who's on the voting rolls and all this.
Yeah, who's on the voting rolls?
Bail-in votes.
Maybe they also have a list of people that need to be taxed even though they don't handle the taxes, like for property tax and stuff, or is Virginia one of those states with or without property tax?
I kind of doubt. They're handling taxes. I think that's the Commissioner of Revenue.
Okay. No problem. Look, these breakdowns could be different ways.
Different,
but
state by state.
Yeah. Just because you say registrar, though, I wanted to clarify. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's voting registrar. Voting registrar.
Okay. No problem.
So anyway, I know these different people.
You know some of these people. So for your county, just. Quick,
yeah.
Again, just to put it back on track, for your county, there's this three-person board, and this is what you're focused on. But again, what was the thing that kind of red flagged this for you?
That's what I'm going to get at.
Go ahead.
So I knew from people in the Republican Party, they told me they had problems with the registrar. And they were saying she's not showing up she's not working at her office. She's working at home. They want her to work at the office, and the electoral board is having problems with her.
Now, was she staying home because
they may be making a change of who the registrar is?
Okay. Now, is that an appointed position? Number one, number two, was
she appointed by the electoral board of these three people?
Gotcha. Okay. Now, was she staying home because of COVID, or was she just working from home because she felt like it? Or?
What they told me was. Yes, because of COVID, and then she just continued to do so because she has children. She's a single mother of children. That's what they told me.
Okay.
Now, this was in May that I'm hearing this from people in the Republican Party, leaders of the local Republican Party. Then.
Now, did the Democrats have any complaints about this, or was it all one-sided?
None that I knew of. None that I knew of.
Okay.
And then, a few weeks ago, a friend of mine got an invitation to apply for her position.
Okay.
And she had been terminated or told she was not going to be rehired by the board and they're going to find a replacement. That's what he was told. That's what I was understood. And then the newspaper, they had a change in who the editor is. Mm-hmm. This new guy came in and they got this reporter that's brand new and like 20 years old. And I don't think they barely know what they're doing, especially the younger guy. They don't own the newspaper. The guy that owns the newspaper lives in Florida or somewhere. And he owns a bunch of newspapers. He's not hands-on. And these guys are in there. They've written a couple articles that, in my opinion, are sloppy journalism.
Okay.
Bad, slanted, terrible articles. And they did an article last week about the electoral board meeting that took place, a recent one, in which the article said that Democrats, and I know the leader of the party, I'm not a Democrat, but I know this guy, and he's a reasonable person. He's not crazy. He's, you know, I know him, you know. And the article was written in a way to make it look as if he went to the meeting and made a bunch of accusations that the lady had been fired for political reasons and that the electoral board wasn't being conducted correctly, and the article had him shouting and made him look like he was a madman, basically.
Okay, so not only do you know this guy, but were you at the meeting? Because you've been going to a bunch of these meetings.
No, I'm not at this meeting.
You didn't go to that one. Okay.
A story about a meeting. I've never been to an electoral board meeting. You know, I go to board of supervisors meetings. I mean, electoral board meetings are pretty obscure for, you know, most, you know, day-to-day things.
Oh, no problem.
Anyway,
I just want to know because you've been going. I just want to know because you've been going to a lot more of these meetings,
yeah,
so I didn't know if you had gone.
I go to a lot of the board of supervisors meetings. I went to. Right. I go to all kinds of different things, but
I've
never been to an electoral board meeting. Mm-hmm. But I read this, and I don't believe the reporting is up and up from what I'm reading, and I know there's something going on that's not in the story. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. So I had decided to go to the meeting today already, and then yesterday the newspaper put out a story 8 pages long that is basically recounting all these electoral board meetings, and now when you read this, they basically had to correct their reporting and let it all out. You know, basically, it's just quoting what's going on at the meetings and a lot of facts.
So now the guy you know is not a crazy man, and they've sort of pulled back.
Yeah, now he's not crazy. Okay. Now the lady that's been fired, they have her entire story. Her face is on the front page of the paper, and the story is supporting her.
Okay, the paper is now supporting her.
Huh?
All right. Well, no, I'm just trying to keep this straight. So the paper that was on the side of get rid of her, but the crazy Democrat is screaming, has now changed their tune entirely. And this is both of these different takes were under the same editor, this 20-year-old or whatever they got in there.
Well, this guy's He's not 20. He's in his 30s. But there's another reporter that's like 20s, even worse.
Okay, so these younger people that went in there,
younger guys.
Okay,
but anyway, you know, this story has it being said that minutes of the meetings aren't being done correctly, that things are being said at meetings that aren't recorded correctly in the minutes, and the whole. I mean, it's just a complete debacle.
Well, does it seem like they're trying to cover their own butts by saying stuff like that? Like, hey, look, you know, people are saying that we inaccurately reported stuff. Maybe we're saying that.
I pretty much assume that someone must have complained to them or to the owner of the paper.
Right.
And they're forced to make correction.
Okay.
Most likely, this story could have caught legs and got on television, you know, or other outlets could have carried it.
Right.
You know, and then the newspaper would look like rubbish. You see what I mean? If they let the previous story stand and the events take a life of their own, and then they just looks like rubbish.
Well, and so, if somebody goes to say another outlet, whatever it may be, television or written or whatever, and says, look, you know that story in the whatever paper over here, it's all false. So now you have a competitor with somebody accounting that, you know, look, I was there and this didn't happen, et cetera, et cetera. So they're being made to look bad. They had to correct their reporting a bit so that they don't look like they're just fabricating stuff.
I had known before the story was written, somebody told me that the Democrats, I mean, not them, but someone told me that knows, you know, I don't talk to Democrats on a regular basis, but someone told me that they were concerned about the integrity of the elections because this lady was fired. And you know, from the way the electoral board has conducted itself in the story, and I went to the meeting today and, you know, got a little bit of a gist of that. I believe what they're saying, the Democrats, in this case, that they're not keeping the minutes correctly, the meetings have been improper. I believe what they're saying.
Based on your observations today.
And they're credible people, frankly, also.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that about everyone that's involved in politics.
Of course.
At all.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to the meeting today, and they, like I said, there's now this Democrat on the board. This electoral board, I'm speaking of, two Republicans, they start the meeting out, they have a little bit of a disagreement, and then the Democrat leader, who is the guy I know, he read a statement out. Well, first of all, the Republican on the electoral board, one of the Republicans, he said they want to put a resolution in that these meetings should be conducted like the Board of Supervisors meetings, saying that there shouldn't be outbursts from the public. You can only speak in the public comment period. And you can't, you know, talk at any other moment, implying that that had happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely it did. That's what they got into disagreement with the Democrat on the board. Wanted to read his thing and is it necessary to have it? But he made a point, we want to be like the Board of Supervisors. Well, when the public comment period came, the Democrat had a statement he already had typed out, and he started reading it, and the Board of Supervisors meetings that I go to, most of them, you have a 2-minute time period to speak. They can extend that to 5 minutes at discretion, and if you're speaking on behalf of a large number of people, you can get 10 minutes. Well, this Democrat speaking today, reading this statement, and it's all about how the meetings have been conducted before, and he's reading the Virginia State Code and all this stuff, implying, you know, that it's not being done properly, and this Republican guy on the board, he gets out his cell phone and looks at the clock going down and shows it to the other person, and they cut him off from finishing his statement.
Right.
And then I raised my hand up. I mean, I don't speak at meetings. I just want to see what's going on and write about the stuff.
Right.
But I raised my hand up and I said my name, and I said, look, I read the story in the newspaper. I want to know what in the world is going on here.
Right.
And that's why I'm at this meeting. And Mr. Ford, that's the Democrat, I said, he's all in the story. He's the leader of the Democratic Party. I want to hear the rest of his statement. Mm-hmm. And I go to these Board of Supervisors meetings, and they give people 5 minutes at discretion. You can give them 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, said it just like that. And yeah, they still didn't let him finish it.
Ah, so you didn't.
He said, we're going to hold it. They're basically like, we'll put his statement in and give more time at the next meeting.
Ah, okay. So we're going to enter a statement to the record, but next time he can read it or whatever.
But what I was trying to do by saying that was put them on notice that, you know, I'm watching this crap. I'm going to be back, you mm-hmm. know. And they'll figure out who I am. I mean, those people on the electoral board, but most of the people in the room know who I am. You know, they'll find out.
Right. Well, so I'll tell you what.
Put them on notice, but.
Right.
What they ended up doing though was they went into a closed session and hired a new registrar. And I know I know this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe they're doing all this to rig the election or something of that effect at all. But it's like a patronage thing. They're giving people jobs and.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get into more of this. We'll take a little break here and get into the rest of it and talk about what the purpose of it is and what else you observed and what the results, the added results to were after your statement, you know, saying, hey, look, you can grant this guy 5 minutes, can't you? And they said, apparently no. But this is interesting because we are seeing this stuff happen all over the country. There are clips, you know, everywhere of these weird disruptions and interruptions and interactions and people claiming they're being unfairly treated in the local board meetings everywhere. The Ocelli Effect with Mike Swanson continues after that.
Radio Network.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that? You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock.
For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
What are the dynamics of a crowd? How do you move a mob? How do you excite them? How do you make them feel as one with you?
I don't know how.
Join them first.
Join them?
Yes. When you speak to them as if you were a member of the mob. Speak to them in their language, on their level. Make their hate your hate. If they are poor, talk to them of poverty. If they are afraid, talk to them of their fears. If they are angry, give them objects for their anger. But most of all, the thing that is most of the essence is that you make this mob an extension of yourself. What are the dynamics of a crowd? How do you move a mob? How do you excite? How do you make them feel as one with you? Join them first.
Join them?
Yes. When you speak to them as if you were a member of the mob. Speak to them in their language, on their level. Make their hate your hate. If they are poor, talk to them of poverty. If they are afraid, talk to them of their fears. If they are angry, give them objects for their anger. But most of all, the thing that is most of all the essence is that you make this mob an extension of yourself. What are the dynamics of a crowd? How do you move a mob? How do you excite? How do you make them feel as one with you? Join them first.
Join them?
Yes. When you speak to them as if you were a member of the mob. Speak to them in their language, on their level. Make their hate your hate. Talk to them of poverty. Talk to them of their fears. Give them objects for their anger. Make this mob an extension of yourself.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
We'll be right back. to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination broken into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
By callers, schools, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
segment number two of the Ocelli Effect here on a Thursday night, and Mike Swanson is with me. We were talking politics during the break there, and I actually overran my time. We had an extended break, so I want to kind of conclude my discussion with Mike. We were talking about the local politics, what's happening there. We wound up talking about libertarian stuff during the break, and I don't think we're going to get into it here on the show because it's a little weird, a little convoluted, little hard to remember, actually, everything that's going on. I did mention to you, though, you know, are you kind of like saving your steam a little bit, Mike, for the 2024 thing that's about to really become the centerpiece of everybody's newscast? Because it seems to me like all of the buildup nationally anyway, again, if you're looking at your school board and your election boards and this and that, sure, that's the place to focus in 2023. But I think everybody's getting ready for the 2024 run. You know what I mean? As far as the political game. Commentary, where people are positioning themselves, RFK Jr. again being pilloried today on the MSM, right? Because apparently he said something about chemicals and them maybe feminizing boys and stuff like this, and CNN's out there intentionally kind of trying to hamstring him on that. You know, once again, the conspiracy theorist, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Hey, another weird passing news story. Not sure if you're interested in it, Mike, but another passing news story. Leslie Van Houten got out. Did you see that?
Oh, one of the Manson family. Yeah.
So I don't know. Where do you want to go from here? I mean, we can conclude pretty soon because we're already past the 9 o'clock hour, and I don't want to keep you too long tonight. But just to round it out, anything more you want to talk about regarding this local situation, or are you going to stay on top of it? Do you feel like any of your concerns are being addressed regarding the local election process? What do you think of all that conclusion wise?
Well, I'm not worried about the new registrar doing bad things with the election, so mm-hmm. I'm not concerned, really. But I'm going to follow up with the people that went to the meeting and tell them stuff about, just talk to them, you know. But it's not a real pressing issue mm-hmm. for me, you know. The local stuff is sort of, in a sense, like the national stuff. It's a news cycle too, and now, you know, next week there's another concern, you know.
Right.
So that it's sort of similar in that sense.
No, the big show though is the presidential selection in 2024, right? That's what everybody talks about every day, one way or another. The Biden v. Trump rematch, right? It looks like, and there is this idea about Bobby Kennedy coming in. You know, RFK Jr. There's what 12 or 13 Republicans now vying for the nomination because, despite what the media is telling you. You know, the nomination has not been given to Trump just yet, although he thinks he's the nominee. And, of course, the different indictments coming down and how does that really complicate things? I mean, I almost feel like these are previews being shown before the new season of the TV show, right, where it's like, hey, get ready this year. This is going to happen. And where, you know, your favorite character will be confronted with this and a surprise tragedy and turn of events. And
well,
doesn't it almost feel like that?
One thing about like this national stuff. So I'm. You know, I've kind of not been paying as much attention the past couple months.
Mm-hmm.
I've really taken a break from writing that much even about the stock market. I haven't done a YouTube video since March.
Right.
I'm going to spend time over the next couple months trying to reinvent the local stuff I'm doing.
Do you just feel burnt out on the national crap or are you sick of it?
That's what I want to. Yeah. One of the reasons why. And I'm going to try to fix up the local stuff I'm doing so I can make a little bit of a profit and run it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I succeed at that, I'm going to fix the main website, Wall Street Window. And, but it's going to, yeah, it's going to take a while. But with the national stuff, the stock market's part of it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing trades. I just bought stuff, that I've last year that I'm still holding, and I don't think much is going on, so I just don't even not paying that much attention.
But you don't then, you don't feel as though there's much to report. I mean, there is the current economic.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just a lot of noise.
Yeah, there's the current economic circumstances and the pressures of that. So, I mean, you know, the Biden economics and whatnot.
Yeah, it's, to me, I don't think anything's really changing at the moment, or I don't think anything important is even happening. Eventually it will, you know, but it may be a year from now. But with the news in general, I have come, I started to believe, feel, that the internet news outlets, you know, CNN, all these news websites,
right,
are getting worse. Not in the sense of their bias or something, but in the quality of their content.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, I think it's a lot of hype to it. They're talking about in the AI, you know, it's like the big theme, especially for financial people, like Metaverse was.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing in, because I do look at the headlines every morning, and I look at all the financial websites,
mm-hmm.
and Twitter got, you know, Elon Musk buys Twitter, and I just use that as an excuse to kind of really trim down on the usage of social media. I haven't done a Twitter post since he bought it.
Right. I mean,
not one, but
yeah.
The thing, Chuck, with mm-hmm. the news, though, is what I started to notice mm-hmm. is the headlines are all becoming identical. The stories and the headlines. If you look at the financial media at 8:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you'll see the same stories everywhere. And this whole talk about AI and algorithms and so forth, I just have come to think that these websites are, I mean, I'm sure it's always been like this to a certain degree, but they're just copying each other,
right,
for traffic, and there's very little real original reporting going on. Now, this was, you know, of course, this has always been the case, mm-hmm. but now it's happening with the websites that are the leading websites of the financial markets.
Well, because it's gone crazy.
And same thing with news sites in general.
Well, right. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's become a homogenous thing, so it almost doesn't matter where you go to get your news, because everybody seems to be taking the very same sources, the very same ideas, and all of them are running with the same thing. So now it's like, because whoever, and I don't even know where the beginning of people producing it, except we talked about, what is that? That news app, What is that?
Newsbreak.
Newsbreak, right? So it's the Newsbreak paradigm, sort of, because Newsbreak doesn't do anything. It picks up local stories from everywhere, from everybody else's stuff, and then presents it and says, hey, we're Newsbreak. We're your new newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they're not. They're not producing anything. All they're doing is picking up somebody else's work. So in the old days, right, everybody would pick up off of, say, the Associated Press and UPI and Reuters, right? So you might see that across the TV channels and in your local newspaper. They'll make references to those articles. They might reprint those articles or read them directly, even on air, on news, on radio, on TV, right? So everybody might be referencing from that core of original news sources. And then they would also go and develop their own news, right? So now people are no longer doing that, no matter what size they are. If they're the small newspaper locally, which is generally usually owned by some media group or somebody who's totally disconnected, like you talked about the guy in Florida owning the newspaper in Virginia. So he doesn't care. He's going for cost-effective, and cost-effective is I'll run a couple of AP stories and have people pick stuff off the internet from somewhere else. I don't have to send out a reporter. I don't have to pay somebody to write it. So now his news stories are just picked up from somewhere else. CNN's doing it. CBS, NBC, they're not just picking up off of each other and it's the Associated Press and Reuters anymore. Now they're all seeming to pick all out of the same basket. And the social media constructs, which have been successful and have been almost the primary place – where people were getting the majority of their news for the past, how many years would you say, Mike? 5-6 years? That's the majority?
At least, yeah.
Okay. So those sites also competing with each other. Well, by the way, I find it funny now. Meta's going to compete with Facebook over this new Instagram app. I don't know if you saw that. Thread?
I haven't downloaded it, though.
Oh, no. Well, see, I haven't downloaded it yet either, but I'm going to wind up looking at it. I think I saw it in one of your Wall Street Window morning headlines emails.
Yeah.
That the whole thing with Meta. I mean, I find it funnier that Elon Musk and Zuckerberg might get into a cage match. That was, a week and a half ago already. But
right.
I still find that hilarious. But it's almost like that now where... Now Musk has this, massive, $44 billion he paid for Twitter or something like that. It's obviously going down in value because they're trying different things over there. I don't know if you saw that. I think you published, actually, picked up a headline from somewhere about it. The idea that they're trying to reinvent themselves and their revenue streams are not working out, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the world is shifting, but it's all becoming one homogenous grab bag. So even if you think you're making choices about, well, I go to this website instead of that one, unless you're honest to goodness dealing with an independent media outlet, I mean a truly independent media outlet that's not concerned solely with the corporate structure and, making sure to cut down on overhead. Okay.
Yeah.
If that's all they're doing and they're just grabbing the original sources from other places, it seems like they're all boiling down to one basket. Now, I don't know where that one basket is, okay, but it's clear they're literally using the same stories. They're covering the same stuff. They're not, it's not because the public's demanding it either. It just seems to me as though they've lost so many of these other possibilities. The local newspapers, again, not doing original work. So now they don't have local sources to draw from. They have national stories, sure, but they're all just parroting each other. I don't think anybody even remembers where the original reports are coming from. Somebody goes on the ground and reports a story, and the next thing you know is, the New York Times reports on it. And therefore, everybody in TV grabs it, and therefore, it's all over Facebook. But I don't think the New York Times or any of the even big metropolitan newspapers are the originators of actual news coverage anymore. It's like the veil is gone. There is seemingly almost no true reporting, chasing down of stories, original writing going on. Anywhere, Mike, or am I crazy? Is that what you're seeing?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit. I'm not going to say anywhere.
Well, a little bit, but I mean, percentage-wise, given the massive amount of media that is being produced
No. Most of 90, generally, I think that's correct.
If I said to you 90% of it, if I said to you, the last question, if I said to you 90% of what we see being produced as news media out there is actually just parroted, repeated, or cut and paste, and that's it, that is literally 90% of the content that's available to the public. Is that what you feel you're saying?
I would agree with that for sure.
Okay, fair enough. So go ahead, though. Tell us about what it is that you think is coming regarding this or wherever it was you were about to go. Because I think that's an important thing to remember as we look at these news stories. And, it used to be, again, what the public would demand these places would put out. But I think they've discovered that even if they don't feed the public demand, people will still show up. They can still be profitable. And, again, they're stuck still doing the big lead up to the 2024 presidential election. Even in the news that's not supposed to be political, that seems to be the dominating thing out there, and that's it. Literally reporting on the potential for a story that doesn't even happen until next year is taking up the majority of the time. It's like they're treading water instead of doing reporting and following up and getting at real news events. I mean, on occasion you have real news, and yes, I know, local crimes get covered and whatnot, and occasionally something like your board meeting there might get coverage, but look at the condition of the coverage, and that's it. I mean, 90% of what's out there is just, it's unoriginal, and uninspired and not actually reporting. It's just reporting on reporting. Honest,
what happened to me is I've been looking at these, you know, getting up in the morning, and, you know, we both get J.P. Satilli's news vandal.
Right.
And I put out this morning email and typically spend 90 minutes a day looking at all these headlines and been doing it for a couple years. And then around the, you know, this earlier this year, I was just like, man, I don't want to look at this stuff anymore, because I was seeing in the financial world a lot of junk headlines. I just didn't want to spend time looking at it because I know it's a bunch of crap.
Right.
You know, it's just a bunch of junk.
Right. And people can still, and I love your wrap ups. They're different from JP's, stuff. JP is obviously, the rundown is a very unique, thing. And I've heard a couple of other, podcasters actually literally reading just off of his rundown recently again. You know, it's interesting stuff all the time. But, if people want to, they can go over to Wall Street Window still and sign up. You can subscribe to, Daily News Digest over there, I think is the name of the tab. And, you have ones for, North Carolina and also for Danville right there. And you have a state and local news tab as well, you know, different pages. But you can subscribe and get emails sent directly to you at wallstreetwindow.com as well. That is the tab you use, right? Subscribe Daily News Digest or something?
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it. And, you know, that's free, by the way. And you can get on it. And I was really hoping you were going to expand more of the local coverage, but I think you're encountering challenges because people are pushing out stuff there that they're presenting as local coverage, and it's kind of a misrepresentation. So you're going to compete with these ghosts and echoes. I mean, literally, in the physical world, it's almost as if the echo of the noise is now louder than the original noise, because that's what you're getting. By the time you go through the merry-go-round of all these people parroting, repeating, copy and pasting, just grabbing the link and kind of using people for click-through clickbait, you know, where do you get original reporting from anymore, original writing from anymore? Hardly anybody. Like we said, like you said, or like I said and you agreed, 90%, yeah. You know, is just repetition and repeat and regurgitation. And that's it. Not much original content being created in the news world. And the financial news is one aspect of it. You know, and about that, by the way, just really fast, I know that there was stuff that went by in the news cycle that nobody really paid attention to about the Fed and what they plan on doing and where inflation is really going. And as usual, they're giving us those stories about how, you know, the economy's bad, but maybe it's not that bad because we got this story, you know. We saw something in the retail market. We saw something in the job market. We saw this or that. But everybody's getting squeezed, Mike. You know, like we talk about with the grocery store concept all the time. All you got to do is go to the grocery store if you want to feel that squeezing, you know, unless you're very, very comfortable. Maybe you don't notice. But, I mean, generally speaking, anybody who's paying for their own food, right, and paying their own bills, they know they're getting squeezed, whether it's through the electric bill or their gas bill or their food bill, et cetera, et cetera. The squeeze is on, and I don't know, economic news doesn't look like it's all that promising or happy, whether you're an investor or just trying to survive the cycles. So I could see how news in the financial world is kind of tiresome, but then again, the whole thing is really uninspiring and uninspired. It's very difficult to want to even keep up with the current event stream when it's all just this, again, homogenized repetition and parroting, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the conclusion I started coming to this year. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Excellent. So, look, before we're all done, I want to give you a chance if there's anything that we missed that you wanted to get to or, you know, something you want to leave people with, a thought. Again, go to wallstreetwindow.com. Be in the know. It's not just about Wall Street at all. Matter of fact, I just pulled it up just to take a look here. You know, there's a gold and silver article right there about the stock of the day. Let's see how the science of these Soviet Cold War defectors reveal the intelligence abyss, part 3. Geez, that's a mouthful. Let's see what else we got here. China's ties to Cuba and the growing presence in Latin America raise security concerns. I mean, there's lots of interesting stories here on the website, and there's always great stuff coming out of you. And also remind you guys to, if you don't have a copy of The War State, you need to get one. I'm looking forward to Dallas in November, by the way, which you've now confirmed you're going to go there and meet up with us, right? So, listeners, you'll be able to meet up with Mike Swanson if you're going to Dallas in November, and we're going to have a breakout room for Ocelli.com and all that. And I'm now hearing there might be some other podcasters present at the Lancer conference as well, Mike. But you're definitely going, right?
Yeah, that's I'll be there.
I'm looking forward to
being there the whole time.
Hey, whatever it is, it is. You and I got to at least go out to dinner, though, over the weekend and, you know, meet and greet some other people that are listeners and stuff to the network. I'm sure there's people that would love to just say hi to you that are also going to join us down there. So, you know, don't worry. I won't let the crazy ones near you. I'll keep them for myself. Okay. Sound good? I'm just making jokes, Mike. I'm looking forward to this, really. I am. You know, it's going to be fun. We're going to have the road trip with B. Pete, and I'm also going to have some of your books available there. Just so everybody knows, there's going to be that and some Ocelli.com swag and all that good stuff I'm going to bring with me. It is the 10th anniversary of the Ocelli Effect, and it is the 60th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So at the JFK Lancer Conference, Mike Swanson and I will both be there, and I'll be actually emceeing the event. And also Larry Hancock is definitely a go. So going to hang out with Larry and Mike and some of you. So looking forward to that. Anyway, Mike, anything you want to close out with here? I'll let you go because I'm sure you're tired of talking to me and my running mouth.
We'll be here next week and hopefully nothing crazy happens.
Yeah, well, God knows what we'll have to discuss by next week, right? I mean, it could be. You know, we could have talked about North Korea. There was some North Korean news earlier in the week, wasn't there?
What happened?
You know what? I forget at this point. I just remember
they
there was something.
A rocket or something?
No, I don't think they shot a rocket. I think there was something about the succession and maybe his sister.
Really?
You know, getting some more you know, prominence there. We could talk about Putin and Ukraine and how that's going. Right? The attempted coup that happened a couple of weeks ago, allegedly. And what's going on with the Wagner Group? Well, I talked to Larry about that. But that's some interesting news and views, what's happening there. The conflict in Ukraine is continuing. We just sent them cluster bombs. You know about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess one day that his sister will be the leader, huh?
Maybe. North Korea,
probably.
Sure.
He doesn't look like she looks like she'll outlive him. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but who knows? That whole thing is very weird, that whole family dynamic. I mean, I guess it has to be when, you know, literally you're in charge of a government that, technically speaking, still has his dead grandfather as the head of it, right? You know that, Kim Jong-soon, or whatever, the original, you know, Kim there, the one that was in place when the Korean War, you know, was occurring. That guy is still technically, even though he's dead, the head of the government there. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So as long as all hell doesn't break loose by then, maybe we'll talk to Mike about Star Trek or who knows what next week. You going to try and watch that Star Trek maybe a little bit this week?
Well, honestly, I save the shows till the fall when it's all dark outside all the time.
Oh, okay.
So during the summer, I tend to watch baseball. So I'm going to hold off because especially those things, you know, that you start watching one of those, you want to keep watching all the episodes. And,
yeah, I like binge watching them too. Well, how about this? Did you enjoy the All-Star game or did you watch it this year?
No, I didn't watch that. To me, that's not real baseball, so I don't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either, but I did see a clip, and the one thing that I found strange is I didn't realize they went back to doing the national and American uniforms again, because for years and years they just had their regular team uniform on, and there would be like an All-Star game patch. You remember that? But I noted that they actually created national and American uniforms this year, but frankly, I don't, I think the National League won. That was a big headline, like, you know, the National League hardly ever wins, but, the National League won, but I don't know who played. I don't know what happened. Nothing. I missed it. You didn't watch it, but, are you enjoying baseball this year at least?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm, the team I follow is doing really well. So, I'm a good time watching it.
Yeah, you're following the Nationals, right?
Orioles.
Oh, Orioles. That's what it was. The Orioles. I was thinking you followed the Nationals, but no, it's the Orioles. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's the Orioles. Yeah, the Nationals aren't doing good. The Orioles are doing great. So
really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
They got the third or fourth best record.
Ah, no kidding. Well, look, maybe the baseball season will be more interesting than the season at Wall Street. And, again, guys, WallStreetWindow.com, that is Mike's website, but I also endorse his books as well. Interesting book on the history of Danville, Virginia, if you check out Mike on Amazon. I'll give you a link to that in the show notes tonight. Anyways, guys, look, I appreciate you, Mike, for doing this with me. Maybe by next week, if all hell doesn't break loose, we'll have a fun topic. And if all hell does break loose, well, maybe we'll talk about that or the JFK assassination or God knows what, right? Anyways, thanks to Mike Swanson and thanks to you for listening out there. No matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember, I am merely Ocelli and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.